Welcome to the Baptist Joint Committee podcast. I'm Jordan Edwards, Communications Associate at the BJC. Today we will be talking about the latest Supreme Court brief filed by the BJC, which is in the case of Trinity Lutheran Church of Columbia versus Pauley. Joining me today are both members of the BJC's legal team. We have Holly Holman, BJC General Counsel and Associate Executive Director. Thanks for being here, Holly.
Glad to be here.
And we have Associate General Counsel Jennifer Hawks. Jennifer, thanks for joining me.
Always glad to be here, Jordan.
The two of you wrote the BJC's brief in this case. So, Holly, can you tell me what this case is about?
Sure. This is a case that comes out of the state of Missouri. Missouri started a grant program through its Department of Natural Resources to provide grants to organizations using recycled shredded tires for playground surfaces. Not the usual setting for a church-state case. But the state of Missouri has this program, and consistent with its state constitution, the program was not available for churches. And so Trinity Lutheran, who runs a preschool, it's a church that runs a preschool, applied for a grant. And even though they met the qualifications in general for the program, they were not given a grant because the grant money was not available for churches. And they sued, saying that that violated their constitutional rights to free exercise and equal protection.
That was some good background on the case. What is the BJC's position on this?
Well, you know, the Baptist Joint Committee supports religious freedom for all, and we do that by supporting strong Establishment Clause standards and free exercise standards. In this case, we are being asked whether the state of Missouri can have a grant program consistent with the state constitution that prohibits funding of churches. And the BJC's position is, of course they can. The church in this case argues that the federal constitution requires Missouri to fund them, to fund the church and this playground improvement. But the state of Missouri, in their state constitution, has strong protections for religious liberty, including a more explicit provision that prohibits the funding of churches.
So it actually goes further than the U.S. Constitution.
That is correct.
So, Holly, what arguments does the BJC's amicus brief make?
Well, our contribution supports the state of Missouri in interpreting their state constitution and not funding churches in this program. And we do that from our perspective by emphasizing the important role that churches play and how churches can be treated differently. Jennifer, why don't you talk about how we address the church issue in the brief?
Sure. Probably one of our best contributions to this case is our focus on churches and how they're different. And we start with the history. Anyone who's ever heard a sermon on Baptist history or taken a Baptist history class has learned about the Baptist historical fight against established churches. And one of the marks of an established church was tax support for the church and for its ministers. And so this is something that we fought hard for, and we were not alone in the fight. That there were several other evangelical groups that participated, but it is a key mark for what's called disestablishment. We wanted to remind the court that the state not funding churches is not hostile to the church, but it's rather something that the churches wanted. The fight by religious dissenters to remove tax support for churches was a huge advancement in religious liberty. And it's something that we still support. And Missouri, like many states, include constitutional provisions that ensure churches will be funded voluntarily by their adherents and not through state fees and taxes.
So the argument you're making is a historical one.
In part, it's historical, but it's still important for the modern church as well. Churches are special. Churches are always an expression of religion. We meet together on our day of worship. For some faiths, it's Friday. Others, it may be Saturday or Sunday. When we look at the First Amendment, sometimes that's a confusing phrase. What does an establishment mean? When we look back at the time that the First Amendment was written, an established church was financially sponsored by the state. There was money to build the church. There was money to maintain the church. There was money to pay for its ministers and for its ministries. There was required attendance at church. The state could condition involvement in the political process on whether or not you were a good church member. And so the fight for disestablishment was a fight to get away from all of those things. Baptist took a lead role in that fight, and it is a fight that we are continuing today, because this really was a huge step forward. It was a complete break from the European tradition. It was a complete break from the colonial history, and it was a brand new experiment that has worked out pretty well today. We're one of the most religious countries in the world. We are definitely the most religious, industrialized, modern country.
So, Jordan, in addition to pointing out that disestablishment had to do with not funding churches, we want to remind the court of that, and that churches indeed are special today, we then go on and talk about how not funding churches keeps the state out of religion. Because in this program, it's money for church facilities. And the Constitution of Missouri and the federal constitution prohibit the funding of religious experience, you know, religious worship. And so whenever the court allows government money to go to a religious institution, it's always very careful. There's going to be some restrictions applied because we have to protect religious liberty by making sure government doesn't fund religion. So that's what this case is really about.
The arguments in the brief are pretty clear, Holly, but if I was the church, if I'm speaking for the church or someone in support of the church, I would say this is just about safer materials for playgrounds and that churches should be eligible for the same grants as other nonprofits, especially when we're talking about materials that are completely secular in nature. This is a playground. They're not getting money to build a sanctuary or a Sunday school class. So why is that not the case? Why does that argument not stand up?
Well, it doesn't stand up because we're talking about a church property. And a church can decide to use its property in whatever ministerial way it wants. And so it may not be the sanctuary itself, but that's not to say religious instruction isn't happening on the playground. The preschool is clearly a part of the church's ministry. It's a ministry the church has chosen. It includes church members. It includes non-church members. But they're very clear that the purpose of the church and of the preschool ministry is to spread the gospel. We don't want judges being in the position to decide, well, this piece of your property is secular, this piece of your property is religious, because that starts to affect church autonomy.
The fact that this grant would fund church facilities makes it really hard to separate and say it's secular. So while it's true that the material, the scrap tire material, is not inherently religious, the fact that it's being applied to a church property makes it problematic from the state's point of view, because it is funding the church property, which, and the church itself should have the freedom to use their property in ways that reflect their ministry. And in this case, it clearly does. It's a preschool dedicated as to promoting the gospel, to raising children in the faith. Let me be clear. When we say that this is a religious use, religious property as a church, and the government shouldn't fund it, it's not because it's a bad thing. It's a great thing that churches have freedom to design their ministries as they want to be as evangelical, as fully religious as they want to. Some churches do, some churches don't. They can design their programs however they want. That's not the point. The point is that the state should not be deciding what part is secular and what part is religious. The state has a strong interest in saying, hey, that's your purview, churches. You do what you want with your church property to express your ministry. And the state's going to respect that and promote the independence of churches by not being involved in funding church property.
And it doesn't matter if the church says, hey, the public can use this playground as they want. The kids down the street can come and swing our swing set. That doesn't matter.
Of course. Some churches are very open and share their property widely. Some churches are very open and generous, sharing their private property openly with the community. Others might use their property differently. While that might show the church's interest and need in having a safe playground, that does nothing to affect the state's interest in not providing funds for church property.
What would you say to someone who argues that our position on this case is anti-Christian or anti-church?
Churches are treated differently, just as religion is treated differently in the First Amendment. It's not anti-church. As our brief points out, it is historically the fight by religious people, religious dissenters, that led to the idea of separation of church and state, because it is good for religion and good for religious liberty for all. when you stop and think about it, of course churches can be treated differently. Religion can be treated differently. That's what the First Amendment says. We treat religion in a special way because of our historical experience that says religious liberty is best served by no establishment and free exercise. This case is simply about how we continue to protect religious liberty, and particularly whether or not Missouri can do so in a way consistent with its history and consistent with our country's history, to not fund churches, but to let them thrive on their own merits, paid for with their own dollars from their adherents.
So we filed the brief on July 5th. What's next? When will the court hear this case, and what should we expect?
Well, after we file our briefs, the next thing is that the church then has a chance to do a reply brief. So the briefing process continues. Oral arguments will be set for the fall term, and we'll get a decision sometime during that term.
Today, you have both made compelling arguments in support of the state of Missouri and its prohibition on funding churches. Could you break it down just a little bit more, almost like an elevator pitch? Like, how would you explain our argument in 20 seconds, 30 seconds to someone on the street? Jennifer?
The state doesn't build churches. The state shouldn't pay for capital improvements to church property either.
So it's as simple as that?
Simple as that.
Great. Thank you both for joining me. We look forward to what this case and our brief has in store. And thank you for listening to the Baptist Joint Committee podcast. For more podcasts, visit our podcast page at bjconline.org/podcasts or subscribe to our iTunes channel.